All right, and welcome everyone to another Sunday afternoon here on Revolution Radio. I'm Stephen Robertson, and this is Cancel the Cabal. I wanted to say once again, just as that last, one of the last promos said, we are listener supported here at Revolution Radio, so please go hit that donate button if you like what we're doing here. I think both me and my entire guest today, the first guest anyways, I've had my live stream hacked and attacked, and I think he's had his Skype hacked and attacked, or some sort of electronic attacks going on, because we could not connect on Skype very well, and I had to call a landline to get this interview through. But I want to say a little thing first here. First, I have Quentin Tarantino's father. Quentin recently, I believe just at the end of October, had something to say about New York police, and Tony actually said, I love my son and have great respect for him as an artist, but he is dead wrong in calling police officers, particularly in New York City where he grew up, murderers. Tony Terranova said, he is a passionate man, and that comes out in his art, but sometimes he lets his passion blind him to the facts and to reality. I want to welcome Tony Tarantino to the show. Welcome, Tony.
Oh, thank you. Glad to be here.
I know that I'm recording this, but I'm not sure if I'm going to have to re-record it and re-put it up on YouTube, or even if I'll be allowed to put it up on YouTube, but I know we've had a lot of things go wrong. We're here to talk about what your son said publicly, aren't we, Tony?
Well, that's part of it. There has been so much about that now, it almost feels like kicking a dead horse. But again, I will reiterate, as I have many times before, I feel he was totally wrong in making statements such as he did about police, not just New York police, everywhere. There is such a small minority of police officers across the country that have committed crimes, and most all of which have been tried and punished in accordance to the law for any crimes that they have committed. Not at all unlike any other organization on the planet. Right now, everybody is so pro veterans and military, and when you think about it, the U.S. Army has a stockade, they have the federal prison, the Marine Corps, the Navy have their bridge. Out of the millions of armed forces personnel that we have, you got a handful that have committed crimes, and those handful are being punished in accordance to the law. That's no reason to condemn the entire force. And the same with the police. There have been those that have committed crimes, and they are dealt with in accordance to the law, just like anybody else. You can't condemn an entire police force for the mishaps of a few.
No, you're certain.
We're all humans. We are all subject to screwing up at some time or another. I mean, everybody on the planet except me, of course, right? But that's my point. And for somebody goes ahead and starts condemning somebody else or a group or whatever, they should do their homework and see both sides of the story and know exactly what it is they're talking about. And I have a big issue with a big political thing going on right now, and that's Islam and the Muslim religion and all of that. And I've been putting a lot of time and a lot of study into both sides of that story so that when I talk about it, I'm not just blowing hot air out of emotion. I'm looking at facts and publications that are out there in order to relay any additional information that I put out publicly. I believe, especially here in America, we are based on the idea of the Constitution, the First Amendment, Second Amendment, so on. And those first two are extremely important, the freedom of speech and the freedom to bear arms. Those things are very important. And I learned a lot through my research in the film that I wrote titled Prism, PRISM, which is based on a true story about an undercover detective out of Tucson, Arizona, that infiltrates the largest drug cartel on the planet, headed by El Chapo Guzman. All these characters were real people. The events really did happen. But before I put it into print, I had to research all of these facts that I were given. I met with the drug task force in Tucson. I've been through the tunnels, the caves. I've seen the railroad cars. I've seen most all the individuals, real life individuals, in photographs, mostly on slabs in the morgue. So I know what the actual characters look like. I know what the facts and the events were before I wrote the screenplay. And I feel that's, to me, an essential in anything that we take on in life or anything that we talk about that has any amount of impact or seriousness for all people. And I believe in being fair to all, even to those whom I think are dead wrong, but I've got to look at their side as well. And I think Quentin should have done as much before he went ahead and made those statements. One thing that he's totally not aware of, Stand Up October was created by Black Lives Matter, and Black Lives Matter was created by a man by the name of Carl Dix, D-I-X. He, in 1969, was drafted into the U.S. Army. His unit was ordered to Vietnam. Carl Dix refused to go. He was then put, tried and sentenced and put into federal penitentiary at Leavenworth. He did 2 years at Leavenworth, was discharged from the U.S. Army with a dishonorable discharge, came back out into civilian life, and created an organization called the Communist Rebellion Party. The Communist Revolutionary Party here in the U.S. And it's this Carl Dix organization, Communist Revolution Party, that created Black Lives Matter and that created Stand Up October. Now, I'm sure Quentin had no idea he was hooked himself into this big communist movement. I'm against anybody that turns around and puts one group over another, like Black Lives Matter. You do Black Lives Matter, of course, all life matters. And then you see on the internet where Black Lives Matter posts this photograph of an automobile, and on the windshield is printed Black Lives Matter, police lives don't. Now, these people are not prosecuted for making statements that are harmful to others, like Louis Farrakhan on the internet. And I've got a picture of it in his statement. He said he called for 10,000 volunteers to kill white people. But you never see anything about it. Nobody's trying him. Nobody's persecuting him. Nobody's saying it's illegal. Where two 19-year-old white boys in the South somewhere say they would shoot black people, and they're both in jail because they're inciting harm, just verbally.
Well, Tony,
these things just do not add up. I believe in the law, and I believe the law should be equal and the same for all people. In my opinion, there is only room for one race in this nation of ours, and that's the human race. I think you should quit labeling people, quit tagging people, quit dividing them into groups. And I personally believe that's done intentionally by our politicians. One thing that you learn really quick in the service in the Marine Corps, they taught us divide and conquer, divide the enemy and conquer them. Well, that's exactly what our politicians are doing with American citizens today. Divide us up into groups, control the group, therefore you control the vote, and you remain in power.
Well, Tony,
I think that's really wrong. I would love to see, and I could care less about party, a politician that cares more about the country than what he or she does about their political agenda or the political agenda of any party. You wanted to say something, Steve. Go ahead.
Well, yes, I did. A lot of us believe, and there is some evidence out there, Tony, that actually Louis Farrakhan has some sort of control or is being controlled by the FBI. I've actually seen the evidence, and it's quite compelling. And a lot of these other hate groups, whether it be the white hate groups or the black hate groups, they've also shown signs of having been controlled by the FBI. A lot of us believe that they're trying to cause a race war.
I wouldn't doubt that. You know, if you really seriously think about that, we're coming close to November elections, and there's a lot of support for Donald Trump. And that scares a lot of people. One way to stop those elections would be to create a race war, get this started to where they have to call in martial law. And if they call in martial law, then they can't have an election, and the president stays that way.
Yes, he does. Yeah, they can they can declare an emergency and declare the elections. They can stop the elections.
Yeah, exactly.
And a lot of people also believe that some sort of a mass riot or anything like that, they can also do the same, and they can declare martial law and declare elections to be done with for this year.
To be suspended, yes. Yeah. Until after the situation has been controlled. You know, I do a tremendous amount of study and research on all of these things, and I find things that are really unbelievable. When I look at what we're doing in the United States and how great this nation became since its inception in 1776 till today, that's what, almost 250 years. Well, we have become the strongest economical nation on the planet. We have become the strongest military might on the planet. And now we're losing all of that. The U.S. dollar was at one time the international standard. Oil was only traded in U.S. dollars, not anymore. Our dollar is really losing its value. Our strength as a nation is losing its position. And we're following the history of the Roman Empire. 2,000 years they were in control. We're doing within 250 years what took them 2,000 years to do. And that's really sad. I am so damn patriotic. It's unbelievable. And I do believe in freedom for all and justice for all. But I feel that freedom and that justice should be equal, not tended toward one group or one race or one religion or one anything over the other. We as Americans should all be responsible and accountable to the same laws, the same punishment, without consideration of race, religion, or this, that, and the other thing. And I hear recently that our U.S. Attorney General, she is trying to create a law now to make it a criminal act for people like you or me or any other American to make statements through social media against Muslims and make that punishable by law. Not against any other group, but only against Muslims. And when you start to study what Islam and the Muslim thing is all about, it's scary. I pulled up on the internet. There's a website out there. It's called billionbibles.org/Shahara/Shahara law. And you go to that and you start reading some of this stuff. And I printed out a bunch and I got a whole bunch of scriptures from the Quran. And when I read them, it scared the hell out of me. I have a gentleman, a neighbor here, who was born and raised in Pakistan, born and raised a Muslim, married a Muslim woman, an adult woman, not a child. And the two of them as adults converted from Islam to Christianity. Members of their family were killed, some beheaded. The two of them managed to escape to the United States and received asylum. Now, I'm talking to this man and I show him this, and he goes and gets the Quran, which is written in Arabic. And we go through each of these scriptures. And he says, it's correct. He said, some of the wording and translation is different, but this, it is correct. And now the Quran is the Bible to all Muslims. whether they consider themselves moderate or whatever, it's the Bible for all Muslims. And in the Quran 2.191, it says, slay the unbelievers wherever you find them. And in 3.28, it says, Muslims must not take infidels as friends. In 3.85, it says, any religion other than Islam is not acceptable. Name, crucify the infidels if they criticize Islam. And it goes on like that. And you say, holy criminy, could this be true? Could these be facts? Or could this be something some idiot made up in order to slam Islam and Muslims? So I started investigating it, and I started to talk to people like this gentleman I was just telling you about, and they turn around and tell me that, yeah, that's true. That's the way it is. That's there. Then they have what's called Sharia law.
Sharia law, yeah.
Sharia law, thank you. And when you start reading that and you see what some of those laws are, and they're bringing that into the United States to be abided by here, it's scary. It's, according to their law, an adult man of any age, you could be 40, you could be 50, you could be 20, and you can marry a six-year-old and have sex with her. And that's in accordance to their law. How people could accept these type things bothers the heck out of me. I know that a while back in our history, we had a religious group called Mormons. What is their initials? They have LSD, something like that.
LDS. Mormons, LDS, Latter-day LDS, Saints.
Yeah, Latter-day Saints. They organized their group into Utah. They started practicing their religion. They created their thing. And they believed in polygamy. A man can have as many as four wives or something like that. And the U.S. government came down on them really hard and arrested these people for polygamy. But yet they allow the Sharia law. They allow the Muslim religion to practice and teach what they're saying, which is pedophile and murderous. I don't understand it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, a lot of religions that go into the past, are still, you know, they still do a lot of things today, and it's not, still not understood why they are still able to do them.
Mm-hmm. And yet our president is forcing and pushing laws for these people. Now, what? They put up $5.5 billion to support these Islamic immigrants, and at the same time, they're cutting military budgets and VA budgets. But yet they could afford to put money into a people that, in my opinion, have no legal right to be here. In my opinion, everybody's welcome into this country. Just do it legally, according to the immigration laws. You come legally, you do it the way it's, the law is already spelled out and there, then that's fine. You're welcome. But all of these other things that they're doing now with illegal immigration in the city of San Francisco, they have an amnesty law where an illegal immigrant cannot be prosecuted for breaking the law. And they had one illegal Mexican immigrant who was a known felon shoot and kill a white woman, and they wouldn't arrest him because he had immunity for being an illegal immigrant. You know, put that in your pipe and smoke it. How on earth could anybody even conceive such a situation?
Yes, yes. Understand.
They're doing things like this, and it is, in my opinion, so wrong. American people are just turning a blind eye and a deaf ear to what's going on around them. It's like when, what's his name that ran for president against Romney?
Ron Paul?
Romney.
Oh, you mean a few years back, or?
Yeah, well, against when the elections running against Obama for president, Romney, wasn't it?
I didn't really hear what you said, Tony.
All right, when Obama was running for president,
yes,
the Democratic nominee for president and the Republican nominee for president was Romney.
Yes.
Isn't that correct?
Yes.
All right. Romney made a bad mistake when he turned around and told the facts that 47% of the U.S. population at that time was on some sort of federal or state welfare or assistance or what have you. You know, and that to me is really a sad situation. That really shouldn't be, especially such a large number. Why the system won't do something to put these people back to work, give them self-pride, give them self-respect, instead of just handouts for everything.
Well, the nanny state is, you know, it's the way socialism takes over a country. They make the people dependent on the state, and they give out free phones. They give out this and give out that, and they get votes in turn.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's my point. And the people become conditioned to it. All of a sudden, they don't want to give up all this freebie stuff. But I think the most important things are, number one, make the U.S. economy back to being the strongest economy on the planet. Make the U.S. military the strongest military on the planet. Make the U.S. dollar back worth a dollar. And you can do that by bringing manufacturing back into the United States, by enforcing the laws that are on the books, make them the same for everybody. Don't give special treatment to special groups. Stop labeling people and stop dividing the country into groups, where we should be one nation under God, indivisible, and justice and liberty for all. I mean, you know, better words I've never heard. And it was a point when we did live by that, but anymore now, it just seems to be titled politically incorrect.
Well, we don't hear them enough, Tony. And to go even further, you know, I don't know. I think the concept of having borders is, I don't know. It gives the impression that, you know, someone is maybe better than other people are, and you don't really want them people in here. But, you know, if you want to look at it, we're all immigrants and of this country here, because unless you're full Native American, and they were...
Now, that's another inconception, in my opinion. There is no such thing. I'm a full Native American. I'm born in the state of New York. That makes me a full Native American.
Yes.
When you start talking about Native Americans as being Indians, that's so wrong, it's unreal. I spent a lot of time with the Dakota Sioux on the Little Rock Reservation. And their stance is, they say, we are Native Sioux. We were here long before the white man. We are the Sioux Nation. And that's the same with every tribe out there. They were their own nation. They were conquered by the white man coming in, creating armies and doing this, that, and the other thing. But they're not Native Americans. They're Native Dakota Sioux. They're Native Apache. They're Native whatever. And they're proud of that. And they should be. And I hate that on TV interviews such as Entertainment Tonight, Inside Edition, Fox News, and places where I've been interviewed, and they would say to me, oh, you're a Native, you're an Italian American. And I would turn around and say, no, I am not. I am an American of Italian descent. I am proud of my heritage and my ancestry, but no, I'm an American of Italian descent, not an Italian American.
Yeah. Well, that's why they put that little hyphen on there and put the Italian in front of it, Tony, because they can somewhat demonize the Italians or demonize the Indians or demonize the Irish or whatever people it happens to be if they put a label on you. And that's all it is. It's mm-hmm. just a label.
Exactly. And that's what my point is. These labeling should be done away with. You know, we are all Americans. We should all be treated equally. We should all be responsible for the same laws. We should all be treated the same under the law.
Well, the facts are, and the facts that millions of people all over this country know and all over the world, that justice is only for the rich, mainly. The little man hardly ever gets justice. It's a bright sunny day with no clouds in the sky whenever the little man gets justice.
Yeah, well, O.J. Simpson proved that justice is for those who could afford it.
Yeah. And I see here coming up pretty soon that they're going to have some sort of a movie based on that case too, aren't they?
On who?
On O.J. Simpson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's been talk about that now for quite a while.
Yeah.
Well, it hasn't actually been done yet.
I think maybe it's a few years too late. Who knows?
I think he's sitting in jail somewhere anyway, isn't he?
Yeah, for something, some petty little thing, a theft or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, anyway, my research and my work on writing the screenplay for my film Prism is what got me going in all of these directions when I started studying the drug cartels. And El Chapo Guzman, it just led from one thing to another. And all of a sudden, I start seeing all of these connections, and I'm saying, geez, I mean, how could, you know, people not take a better look at this? I've gotten some messages on Facebook from Muslim. There's one on there now from some Muslim man saying that, as long as it might be, the fact that you can marry a 6-year-old or a 9-year-old or like that is legal, is wrong as can be, but it does exist. And that's a post from somebody I don't even know who proclaims to be a Muslim.
Yes, I actually know one myself in this area here. I've become friends with him, and he's sort of liberalized, and he's got progressive views, but he doesn't really follow the Quran much, and he's not that religious, but he thinks it's crazy all the stuff that's going on, and I do too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you see what's happening in Muslim countries amongst those people, the atrocities that are created. Not too long ago, a Muslim man, 24 years old, asks a Christian woman to marry him. She refuses. He sets her on fire, and he's not persecuted because, according to the Sharia law, he's not guilty of anything.
Yes, indeed. Well, you know, Tony, a lot of us believe that a lot of religions religions are man-made. God didn't make the church, and God didn't make, the Bibles. They were just written words from his thoughts.
Yeah, men wrote all Bibles. That I agree with. And I have put a lot of research into Bibles, especially when you go to that billionbible.org.
Uh-huh.
And one thing I find that of all of them that I've looked at, Christian, Jewish, Buddha, they are all very friendly religions. There's not a one of them that says, kill anybody, any non-believer.
Right,
right. They all preach peace and love in their way, in accordance to their beliefs. They each have their own God. And that's fine. I see nothing wrong with that. But then when you have a religion like the Quran and an 8.12 that says terrorize and behead those who believe in scriptures other than the Quran. And that's there. Quran 8.60 says Muslims must muster all weapons to terrorize the infidel. The unbelievers are stupid. Urge all Muslims to fight them. When the opportunity arises, kill the infidels wherever you find them. The Jews and the Christians are perverts. Fight them. Make war on the infidels living in your neighborhood. All of that is in their Quran. There is no other religion that I've been able to find that anywhere preaches kill anybody that doesn't believe as you do.
Yeah, yeah. And it's really a shame. It's really a shame that they claim to be so peaceful, but yet they seem to be doing things just the opposite.
Yeah. And, yeah, you know, I believe, you know, if I were to be classified as anything, it wouldn't be a Democrat, it wouldn't be a Republican, it wouldn't be an independent, it would be a constitutionalist. You know, I think that is such a powerful document and should be adhered to. And they don't. They keep twisting things around and looking for ways to get away from it, like with the Second Amendment now, and this gun control stuff. What they want to do is take my guns away from me so that I can't defend myself against a situation like in Santa Barbara.
San Bernardino, wasn't it?
San Bernardino, excuse me.
Yeah.
If some fools walked into that restaurant and started shooting off their guns, and two or three of the patrons had sidearms and turned around and could have shot them dead and saved the lives of 12, 14 people. But if somebody comes, and this is where I'll reserve it to, if somebody comes breaking into my home, they're going to, you know, I'm prepared. They would face, you know, fire in return.
Yes, yes. Well, that's also one of the main reasons why they want to take all the guns out of the Americans' hands, Tony, because they do want this race war. And, you know, I think Obama, I hate to say it, but I think it looks like he's the Muslim, and it looks like he's going to side with the Muslim Brotherhood, and he's trying to bring a bunch of these people in. And
I have no proof of this, and I can't quote anywhere would prove it. This is strictly my own opinion, and I like to make that clear. But in my opinion, Obama is a leader in the Islamic Brotherhood, according to all the actions that he's taken in that direction.
Yeah.
Now, you've got countries like Sweden and a few others that are making it illegal for people to wear that, what do they call it, burqa or something like that?
Burqa.
Burqa, yeah. And they're making it against the law for you to wear those things there. Here, people coming in from wherever, and they land in the airports and they're coming through security, they can't have them remove that. And you can't see through that. You can't tell if that's really male or female.
No, you can't. Not at all. You just see, normally you just see the eyes, and that's it.
Exactly. And then, two in the news, now this is from CBS News that I saw, something like 73 TSA agents were Islam Muslims. They finally fired them all, got them out of there, but they were TSA.
Yeah. I'm surprised they haven't screamed discrimination yet.
Yeah, exactly. And they're doing that now. And with the U.S. Attorney General trying to create a law to make it illegal for you and I to speak out as we are now against Muslims and their teaching, calling that incitedness to creating
inciting harm.
Yeah,
inside,
but it's
danger.
Okay for Black Lives Matter to say all of that stuff against other people, white people. It's okay for Louis Farrakhan to call on 10,000 volunteers to kill white people.
It seems
it's
to
okay
be.
For Carl Dix to do and create all the racial tensions and hate against white people.
Yeah.
But it's not okay the other way around.
Yeah, that was a funny case I just thought of, Tony. It's been a few years back now, like a decade or so. But there was, I don't recall his name now, but there was a man that was a leader of the KKK here in America. And he had a radio show. He was calling for violence against blacks and Mexicans and all other people that were in America here. And he was calling for them to be deported, you know, and he was calling for them to be killed. And nobody was going after him either. The attorney generals or the anybody that supposedly has authority, they weren't going after him until he incited violence on a judge, a federal judge. And then they finally went after him, and it come out in court that he's a FBI agent.
Huh. Well, yeah, it seems to me that that's the political agenda. to divide and create race wars and riots within the country so that they can jump in and take total control.
Well, most certainly. It seems to be that way. But how do we change this around, though, Tony? How do we make things different?
We're doing our best to do that right here and now. Get more people to listen to both sides of this thing. Take a stance, you know. Start looking at things as they actually are and not emotionally. Quit trying to be part of a group. Try being more of an individual and think more freely and see what you really think is right and stand up for what you think is right.
That's what happened.
And I have no objections whatsoever. I welcome those who dispute my opinion. That's their right just as much as it is mine to state it. And if you've got something to say to me that's in inverse of what I'm saying, then say it to me and prove it to me. Show me the facts.
Well, that's what I wanted to say, Tony. If anybody would like to call in and have an opinion on the discussion that we're having here, the Studio A Skype is 347-688-2902. You can ask Tony Tarantino a question or make a little comment or do whatever you would like. But I wanted to go back a little bit here, Tony, and what do you think needs to be What do you think needs to be done with the police that are caught on video doing a lot of these brutal things to people? I seen a video just yesterday of some young man that had just a pair of shorts on it and didn't have a shirt on, and it looked like he was complying with the police, and he put his hands up on the top of a hood and they just shot him and blew him away.
No, I haven't seen that. If that's true, and if that happened, then whoever did that shooting deserves to be prosecuted, tried, and if found guilty, punished in accordance to the law, just like any other citizen committing an heinous act. The law should be no different for anyone. And of all the people out there, the police should be more cognizant of it because they should have a better understanding of it. On the other hand, there are so many things out there that are not shown where police have shot somebody or have done someone, and a video doesn't show the whole story.
Right.
You know, our streets are a combat zone. These officers, when they step out there in that uniform and they wear that badge, they don't know who the enemy is. They have no idea. If somebody does a suspicious act, a suspicious movement, I mean, like any other person, especially in a combat situation, you're taught in the Marine Corps anyway, shoot first and ask questions later, because you can't tell what's on the mind of the enemy. Now, you put a cop in a situation that becomes volatile. I mean, his first thing is self-preservation. And he just might do that. Shoot first and ask questions later.
Yeah, especially.
But I think in most cases, most of the shootings were legitimate. In some cases, they were not. And when they are not, those officers deserve to be tried, persecuted, and then sentenced according to law if found guilty.
Yes. It's come out here, Tony, in the last few years that there's been some police and sheriffs and agencies like that that have actually leaked documents, leaked manuals, and leaked presentations and stuff like that, that the police and the sheriff's departments are actually being told that the people want them dead. The people are against them, and they want to kill them. And, you know, that can only add to the psychology of a young man or a woman in their daily duties.
My reply to that is I would tell every police officer across the country, and I believe there's something like 500,000 of them, all of you, say screw you and quit. Walk off the job. Do what they call, claim what they call the blue flu and take a week off.
Well, that's actually illegal for them to do.
Yeah, and then what would happen, huh? What would happen in our streets then?
Yeah.
without the police and any and all of the departments throughout the nation. If they all quit and walked off the job, I mean, how safe would you feel? How willing would you like your wife and your daughter to walk down the street, go to school or the supermarket?
Exactly, yes. It wouldn't be too good, would it?
No, it sure wouldn't.
Unless you were armed.
Yeah, and even at that, you know. And now they're trying to create laws to where police officers have to abide by restricted magazines and clips for their weapons. Give me a break.
Yep.
Again, you know, I agree. When an officer commits a crime, he deserves the same treatment as any other criminal. But the general officer out there trying to do his job and protect the public, he has to be given that respect and that consideration.
Yes, he does. And a lot of us also know, Tony, that the a lot of the police departments all over the country are trying to recruit people that have been in the Army. And you happened to mention a few minutes ago about, you know, shoot first and ask questions later. And I think, well, I believe that a lot of people in the military are taught that, especially if they're over in like Fallujah or Afghanistan or some other type of conflict over there in the Middle East. A lot of them do,
well, sure. You know, in Vietnam, little kids would walk into a group of Marines and say, candy Marine, and a Marine would reach in a thing because he always had those rations and go to hand them, and this kid would explode and take four or five Marines with him. Women have been known in Vietnam to be pushing a baby carriage down the street. You could see there's a live infant in that carriage and walk into the middle of a bunch of Marines and say, food, Marine, because we always had these rations. And Marines would start, would set their rifle down or whatever, you're reaching a pack to get something to give them to eat, and the whole carriage explodes and takes 8 or 10 Marines with them. And then you see a situation like that coming, and you're already aware of what's been going on, you're liable to shoot first and ask questions later.
Yeah, I bet that's got to be horrible on a young man's psyche, having to just, you know, shoot a young boy or a girl just because they're coming towards you, and you don't know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And this is what our police officers are going through today on the streets. They have no idea what's in the mind of these people that are approaching them, or when they tell somebody to halt. And when they say stop, and somebody doesn't stop, in my opinion, he's got the right to shoot them. When an officer says halt or stop, and you keep running or you keep doing whatever it is you're doing, in my opinion, he has the right to shoot you.
Yeah.
Because if you're a law-abiding citizen, you're going to comply, you're going to stop, and you're going to say, okay, officer, you know, what's the problem?
Yep, absolutely. Well, we've got about 4 minutes left here, Tony. Is there anything else you'd like to say or anything else you'd like to talk about? Or
No, I think we've covered quite a bit of material in this time. You know, all I say is people think, you know, before you say something, before you come down on somebody, think, investigate it. I put a lot of time and investigation into the things that I've been saying. I am prepared to even give you where I obtained the information so that you could look at it yourself. And if you want to repute it, then do it intellectually, not angrily.
Right. You have a deep religious faith, Tony?
I have a what?
You have a deep religious faith?
Let me put it this way. I am not religious, but I am spiritual. I believe there is God. I will say I am a Christian. I believe in a lot that's taught. but I don't believe in man-made rules.
Right.
So, you know, that's a tough one. I was born and raised a Catholic, went through Catholic school, and was expelled out of Catholic class one time because the nun was teaching about, at that time, it was a sin to eat meat on Friday. And I raised my hand and asked sister, I said, why is it a sin to eat meat on Friday? And she says, because Christ died on the cross on Friday, and out of respect for that, we don't eat meat. I could accept that. I said, but why is it? It was what they called a mortal sin. And according to the Catholic teaching at that time, that back in the 1950s, if you died with a mortal sin on your soul, you went straight to hell. And so I said to sister, I said, so if I have a salami sandwich at lunch and hit by a Mack truck leaving the playground, I'm going straight to hell. And she says, yes. And I said, did Jesus make that a sin? Did he say that? And she said, no. I said, well, who did? She said, the Pope deemed it a sin. And I said, the Pope, is he not an elected official just like the President of the United States? What gives him that power? And she just looked at me and said, out.
Get out, yeah. Well.
Yeah, and I was like, you know, 12, 13 years old at that time.
Shut up, kid. You're thinking too much.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I won't follow blindly anything or anybody. I've always been inquisitive. I want to know the whys and outcomes and so on and so forth.
Well, that's good. I have, for the most part, myself also. I was raised Catholic for about 10 years, from the age of 8 until the age of 18. And thank you, Tony. There's my music, and that's the end of this hour here. So thank you once again, Tony Tarantino.
All right.
And have a good day over there. And everybody, we will be right back after these messages.